Welcome to Out There, airing every Wednesday from 4 to 5 here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Out There airs interviews and snippets from life on the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We have another Beyond episode today. I was gone for a bunch of the winter in Trinidad, and so I've got clips from there, and I think I'm going to, I want to start with a song, but, oh yeah, okay, this is where, all right, I'll start with this Christopher Cross, a little bit of this song in the background. So, let's see. I initially went to Trinidad trying to connect up with a friend who was sailing, and you know, I couldn't tell if that song played or not because I was late to the studio and haven't got my headphones on yet. And now I got my headphones on and maybe that song was actually playing. Oh, there we go. Sorry for the crash landing here. So I originally went to Trinidad to try and meet up with my friend Mika, who was sailing there, but I wasn't able to meet with him. But one of the people that I did meet with when I got to Port of Spain, let me just tell you about getting through immigration. So I flew into Port of Spain, and I gotta turn off the music so I can concentrate. I flew in. I was trying to meet my friend. I hadn't heard from him, hadn't heard from Mika on the bamboo sailboat for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And so I was trying to make a backup plan. So when you fly to another country, most other countries, not that I'm very experienced, I hadn't flown to another country in 15 years, but when I was on the airplane from Miami heading for Port of Spain, Trinidad, the flight attendants handed everyone these immigration slips, and on the back side of the slip, it asked for the address where you would be staying in Trinidad. And so I actually did have somewhere to stay the first night. I had found someone off of couch surfing, Latoya, after many, many requests. I had found someone to stay with. It was getting close to carnival time. This was late February, so it was kind of hard to find a place to find a couch surfing host. And so, but I had finally found someone who said I could stay with her for a night. And when I had asked her her address or how we would meet up when I arrived there in Trinidad, she said, well, my address, it's going to be complicated. So how about you just meet me at 6th Avenue, at the KFC on 6th Avenue in Barataria? I said, okay, great. I'll meet you there at 8 o'clock. So anyway, when I'm filling out the immigration slip, coming into the airport, it says address where you'll be staying, and I just wrote Latoya's house. And so then the plane unloads in Port of Spain, and everyone goes through the immigration, the customs gates, or the by the customs booths, and somehow I managed to be the last one in line, or all the other lines just flowed through like a river flowing around the rocks, and I was still standing there talking to the immigration person. She's looking at my form, and she says, so where are you staying? And I said, Latoya's house. And she said, well, what kind of place is that? And I was like, it's Latoya's house. And she said, well, you don't have an address? And I said, no, we were just going to meet like at the KFC on 6th Avenue. And she said, well, who is this person? And I said, well, I met her off of couch surfing. It's this online hospitality network. And she's like, wait, you've never met this person? And you're just going to like stay with her in a country you've never been to? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of how couch surfing works. And she said, well, what are you doing in Trinidad? And I said, well, I'm trying to connect up with this friend of mine who built this bamboo sailboat in Martinique, but I haven't heard from him in like 5 days. And she said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, then there's also this chance that I might go to this farm on the south side of Trinidad. And she's like, well, what's the address? And I said, well, I don't know yet because I'm still communicating with them. Well, how do you know about them? Well, there's this network called workaway.info. It's online, this international like work exchange program And she said, you don't even know if you're going there either? And I said, no, well, I'm kind of waiting to hear back. And she said, well, we can't list you into the country unless you have a address of someone who's receiving you. And she said, don't you have a phone number of LaToya? And I said, well, she gave me her phone number, but I don't have a phone, so it wasn't of much interest to me. And this whole time, I'm like, sorry, I didn't do my homework. I'm just like the arrogant American thinks she can just waltz on in with her American passport. Because I know it's so much more difficult for other people to get into the United States with like visa applications and all that. I was feeling bad for not having done my homework ahead of time. And I apologized to her for what it was worth. Anyway, in this whole encounter, I'm like, she's got me like sitting on a bench. She calls her supervisor and I'm back and forth off of the bench, the naughty people's bench. And I said, she asked me if I had a phone number for LaToya. And I said, well, I do. It's on my email. So if I can get Wi-Fi, I can look it up on my tablet here. And I said, but I've been trying to get Wi-Fi right here in the airport. I was told it was here, but it's not connecting. Anyway, she called her supervisor out, and her supervisor comes out looking none too happy. And I gave him my tablet, and the internet worked for him. And so I'm signing into my email, and he's looking over my shoulder, looking at the subject of the titles of the emails. And like, what's that one about? They were really interested in what I was actually doing in Trinidad. And so finally I got LaToya's number, and I don't have a phone, so I gave immigration her number, and I'm feeling really bad because I've never met this young woman. I practically begged her to let me stay a night on her couch in Port of Spain, and now immigration's calling her, asking her for her address. But anyway, so then, immigration called her on her WhatsApp number. They got a hold of her. And I had also given immigration a Pedal People flyer, which is what I do here in Northampton, saying, hey, no, look, see, I'm legit. See, I have this job, business that I'm part of back in Massachusetts. But believe me, I'm going back to Massachusetts when I leave here. I'm not going to just stay in Trinidad forever. Anyway, so immigration called LaToya. They got a hold of her. And the immigration officer wrote down something on the Pedal People flyer. And then she hands it to me and she says, look, this is LaToya's address. This is where you're staying tonight, okay? And they stamped my paper and sent me on through. The whole time I was kind of like, well, if I have to get sent back on the plane to Miami, I guess that's fine, whatever. It's all going to work out fine. I haven't really connected with anyone. I don't have any set plan here anyway, so whatever happens, happens. So it was sort of low stress to me. But anyway, the funny thing about them writing down, LaToya's address, or what I thought was LaToya's address, was that then, 2 days later. So that night I did meet up with LaToya and her mom. But then the next day, I ended up staying with them, several nights, four nights. They were super generous. But my second night, trying to get back to their place alone, I had this Pedal People flyer with what I thought was LaToya's address written down on it. And when I got in the taxi, I just gave the piece of paper to the taxi driver because I couldn't really understand what people were saying. And he looks at it and he's like, this isn't an address. And I said, really? Well, that's what immigration said when they gave it to me. And he's like, no, this isn't an address. I need a street name. I need a number. I'm like, oh, sorry, I have no idea what addresses are supposed to look like here. I said, but if we get close, I'll know it when I see it. Because the neighborhood where they lived, it was just, to me, it looked like all these sort of, these curvy, windy streets going up into the mountainside. Anyway, the taxi driver, he was a little annoyed, but then he was a good sport, and we tried a couple different streets, and I was like, there it is, that's it. We got it on the second try. I recognized it and took careful note of the actual number of LaToya's house. Anyway, so that was my first couple days in Port of Spain. So the interview that I'm going to start with here today, so I was going to meet my friend Mika, who had made the bamboo sailboat, but Mika also had company building it with this woman Aiko, who had come from Japan and met him in Martinique. Now, Aiko she met me in Port of Spain because she had left the boat. It's kind of complicated. But anyway, I have an interview with Aiko, and this is all about an alternative way to travel, essentially like boat hitchhiking, I would guess, which is how Aiko got from Europe to the Caribbean.
Full name, Aiko Kamada.
So Aiko, you've been traveling. Where are you? Okay, where are you from?
From Japan.
And when were you last in Japan?
Oh, it was July?
Last year. Okay. So what is it? February now. So a bunch of months.
Over 6 months.
So you went to Europe, right? How did you get to Europe?
Oh, I traveled to China first, then flew from Hong Kong to France. Uh-huh. And France, I traveled local places and looking for boat as well. Uh-huh. In Bretagne, uh-huh, the north of France. Then I did backpacking Portugal and Spain. Uh-huh. Then from Spain, I took a boat.
Uh-huh. When you say you were looking for a boat or you took a boat, like what kind of boat? How did you find a boat?
I just tried to go close to the where the boat is parking.
The marina, the harbor?
Yes,
the
marina. Port. And I asked around in the Bhutan. I asked around. I met a Japanese person and she had experience sailing. And she said, just talk to anybody who has boat and you can get connection. Uh-huh. Yeah, but in France, I was not so brave. But in Portugal, I registered my name on the crew.com.
Findcrew.com. Findcrew.com. Okay. So how does that work, findcrew.com? Like, do you have to pay?
If you want to say something to, for your appearing. Oh, sorry.
So you find, does it cost? How much does it cost?
I forgot, but it's 50 euro or something. You can just register free, and you can put your profile. You can sail, or you're looking for some kind of sailboat. But when you found somebody you want to contact, like a good captain, but you cannot say anything if you don't pay. Send a wave to, please look at my profile. Yeah. But you cannot say where you personal talking. Uh-huh. You have to pay.
Okay. And so then if you get on a ship, is that just between you and the captain, how much you pay? Or how much are you, is it work exchange?
Ask food and one captain asked for marina fee also. Uh-huh. Marina fee and petrol fee. Uh-huh. I don't know, 25 euro a day or something. But many boats I took, they didn't ask anything. Yeah. Or they say, just bring your biscuit for breakfast.
Okay.
And lunch and dinner, they feed us.
Yeah. So you said you asked for 6 days before you found someone that could take you to
Canary Island. I spent 6 days just walking around between boat and say hello, call somebody in the boat. But many hitchhikers, they don't do like me. They say it's too much private area in the boat.
Yeah.
So if you are waiting in front of boat or something to talk, they say they don't feel comfortable. But I was very, very looking for seriously.
Yeah.
So I talked to every single person.
Wow, you did not give up. I mean, you were on an island anyway, so you had to. It's not like you had the option of taking a train or a bus.
Yeah, I think. But we can buy flight, but it means we feel like we lost.
Loser.
Because some people couldn't find a boat and she just fly.
Uh-huh.
But it's so sad.
So the boat, you finally found a boat with some Italians?
Yeah, Italian boat. They are working.
Martinique.
They are just delivering the boat. Uh-huh. The owner of the boat is waiting in the Caribbean. And they just carry the boat to captain, to the owner.
So did they charge you to go across the Atlantic Ocean?
No, they say just I pay for biscuit for the breakfast.
Yeah.
And the captain cooked, baked bread in the boat.
Oh my gosh.
And make pizza, make cake, make every time hot meal, like spaghetti.
Wow. How long did it take you to get across the ocean?
It's 18 days. I think it's a quicker days. Normally people take 20 days. Our boat was very, they have to arrive very quickly.
They were hustling. They were moving fast.
Yes.
Wow.
And that feeling, we can just go Europe to America, like free. It was very interesting point of view.
Yeah. Wow. So, but the 6 days when you were asking for a place for a ride, where did you stay?
Oh, when I'm asking around, I found one person said, you can stay in my boat because we have, how to say it?
Extra cabin. Mm-hmm. So did, if you hadn't found that place to stay, where would you have stayed?
Oh, some people were staying in the dormitory, like a youth hostel.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they take bus to come marina every day to ask around.
That's cool.
And also the hitchhikers can exchange information in the sailor's bar.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of community we had. Uh-huh. We can meet many hitchhikers, like a brave, interesting people from all over the world.
Wow. Mm. It's a culture I never thought about, never knew about. So tell me this, did you ever feel afraid or feel like, should I trust this person? Should I not trust this person?
Often.
Yeah, there are times.
Yeah.
Like that? Or?
But I think every time we get better understanding. Because sometimes I mistake. Before I made many mistakes. Like I shouldn't have trust. But trust is nicer than don't trust, no? Trust and, found out he's not so well, good, but still I feel a bit good about I trusted.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so like you said there was one captain who he drank a little bit too much for you to feel comfortable.
Yeah, he started to become rude. Like he throw my hat. He did like that.
He took your hat off and threw it.
Yes. After that, I left. I said, why do you do this? And he said, it's just joking. And I said, it's not. I felt very bad. And, then he starts say about money. And, you have to pay. And,
Where was that? I mean, how long before you had a chance to get out of that situation? How long before you had a chance to leave?
I stayed like 3 nights.
Uh-huh. That was that. Where was that?
It's La Linea. It's Spain.
Okay. Like, but what about when you got the trip with the Italians across the Atlantic? Like, do you just know pretty instantly, pretty quickly that, okay, I have a good feeling about these people. I trust them, or what?
I had a very good feeling, but it was wrong, kind of. It's difficult because after 18 days, we really find out each other, no?
Uh-huh.
The captain was quite alcoholic. Like, he started drinking from the morning because nobody is, you know, in the boat. I found out it's a bit dangerous because no rule. If captain is no rule, the boat become no rule.
Yeah.
But he's not super crazy. He just drink and bad mood. Like, always unhappy, little bit. But also, I heard his son also passed away. His son passed away and he had a difficult life.
Yeah.
The crews were talking about captain, like,
How big was the crew? How big was the crew on that boat, the Italian boat?
Captain had 1, 2, 3 clues for him, and he also took 3 hitchhikers. So we were 7.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty small crew, small boat to cross the Atlantic. It seems like to me, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's big because my friends, they crossed only captain and him, two people. And he said the captain was Korean captain. Uh-huh. And after I found Italian boat, he came to Italian boat say, I go come out because I found Korean boat. And he said, you can have your own cabin because I didn't have my own cabin in Atlantic. So we were like small, in the single bed, 2 girls, I think.
Tight.
So very tight. Once the move, the boat, we rocking. Hit each other. Yes, wow. Very hard.
So the 3 hitchhikers, it was you, were the other two, were they both women or men?
Women. The first, I was with Italian boy looking for boat. And after the captain took us, captain said maybe he want only Italian boy. Then I said, please, please, please.
I've been asking for 6 days.
Yeah. And I asked the captain. He's an Italian boy. Italian boy was very shy, so he didn't talk to the... he just was watching. Then after he found out the boy is Italian and captain got interested in more boys than me, then I say no, it shouldn't happen like this. So he took me too, but after one day he felt maybe it's nice to have one more girl because I'm alone. So I think captain think about me, how I feel comfortable, then he took another girl. He looked for another girl.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think he was nice. But he was grumpy and a bit difficult.
Yeah, sounds like he was in a hard place in life with the death of his son.
But hitchhikers were very cheerful people, very happy people. And they exchange language. Italian boy teach Italian and Spain girl teach him Spanish.
What language did you communicate in? Do you speak Italian?
No, so I have to use Spanish.
Close enough.
But nobody really good at Spanish. So we just try to anyway, any language. It's like find a clue, and you get message
find
from
a
captain.
Net.
But normally, message from captain is not often. I got just 1 or 2. The captain is looking for somebody, and he write to, I want clue. Normally, crew send many messages to the board.
That was an interview with Aiko Kamada done in Port of Spain, Trinidad, on February 19th, 2019. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Let's see. Today is Wednesday, May 1st. Today's May 1st. Happy May Day. Today is the first Florence Farmers Market. It's this afternoon from 2 to 5 here in downtown Florence. Also, being May Day, there's some events going on downtown sponsored by the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. There's some workshops and party in Pulaski Park from 5:30 to 8:45 this evening. Let's see, there's a couple of workshop sessions, one on food system workers uniting, one on music and art in the movement, and one about funding our future, education justice, and one about the driver's license for all campaign. And from 9 p.m. until midnight tonight, Dance Dance Revolution Party at the Haymarket Cafe with DJ Tambo. All that information is on the Pioneer Valley Workers Center Facebook page. Also coming up this Saturday is Pride Parade. That's right. And I think it starts at noon at the fairgrounds, I guess. Also coming up this Saturday and every Saturday, the Bike Lab.
You want to learn to fix your bike? Mm-hmm. How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
So a few more words about the Bike Lab. Either I am usually there when I'm in town, or Dwayne Rainey is often there. You can go to the pedalpeople.coop website, and that has any updated information about if there's like schedule changes, because we had some schedule changes during the winter. We didn't do Bike Lab on some of the colder months. And while I'm talking about bikes and Bike Lab, so at the Bike Lab, as the promo said, you heard most of what Bike Lab does. You can learn to fix your bike. We also accept bike donations, and I'm collecting some bike donations to send to Trinidad. I'm going back again in September, and my plan is to take some bikes or ship some bikes and meet them there, and tools and parts, and set up sort of a bike workshop kind of thing. And so I'm looking for some donations of bikes that can be of quality bikes that can be fixed up or repaired. It's fine if they have flat tires or, you know, some rusty cables or stuff like that. I'm also looking for a tandem with 5 years or more, but nothing fancy. I really want to take a tandem so that way I can give rides or ride with people, especially like women or girls who might not know how to ride or be encouraged to ride or be encouraged to go out alone. I want to offer kind of a tandem taxi service when I go back. Anyway, so the Bike Lab accepts donations. We always accept donations, whether or not, you know, I'm trying to get some bikes for Trinidad, but we accept donations all the time. And when we get more donations than we get out, then we give them to Bikes Not Bombs out of Boston, and they ship them to their partner projects and around the world or right there in Boston. And also, if you happen to know of anyone who wants to ship some things to Trinidad and share a shipping container with me, let me know. That's me, Ruthie Woodring. You can let me know. You can just go to the Pedal People website and contact me through that, or through the Bike Lab link has all my contact information. Or you can call me, 586-8031. Or you can call me at the radio station on a Wednesday when I'm playing a recorded clip or a song, because I can't pick up the phone when I'm talking. Anyway, this is Out There on Valley Free Radio. Thanks for listening today. I have some more clips from Trinidad. Not very many, really, because when I was there, I was really just trying to be present where I was. Anyway, I'll stop for a song. Here's some Chronics.
Rastafari never leave I alone. So even when the road get rocked, me say me never give up. I said there ain't no giving in. And when the going get tough, I said the tough get going. My people don't give up. I said there ain't no giving in. No.
Rastafari guide, I and I from the beginning. Oh, 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 eh. A lot of youths in life say them can't take the pressure no more. Oh, oh, oh. But from your trust in a demo style, life I go get better, I'm sure. The youth juggle upon the roadside, Babylon say fi take up your bag and go. Boy, but we still not give up. Me say we solid as a rock like a lunge. Not give up. I said there ain't no giving in. And when the going get tough, I said the tough gets going. One juggle your fruits, don't give up. I said there ain't no giving in, mama. Rastafari guide your knife from the beginning. Why, oh, teacher not get paid. The government need for purge and process. Oh, yeah. Police not get paid, so them find it hard for serve and protect. And all we get from the government is highlight bills and robust taxes. And them still a pressure the youth to run it hard on the road with them robot taxes. But there ain't no giving in. Go and run a taxi, you. Hey, I said the tough gets going. Ba 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 yo. Nah, give up. I said there ain't no giving in. No. Rastafari guide, I and I. I and I. Whoa, whoa. I said, my people, we've been facing struggles. Struggles for so long. Ja, people. Please me, I beg you. Please, could you hold on? I know the system have you down and you feel pressed down like 50 feet. I thought the buckle, yeah, the victory sweet. Me say, me still not give up. Me just kiss me teeth, not give up. I said, there ain't no giving in. Hey, how when the going get tough? I said, the tough gets going. Jordan, believe me. Not give up. I said, there ain't no giving in.
Okay, I remember another reason now why I didn't do too many interviews, which was because I couldn't really understand what people were saying a lot of the time. Here's a sample. This is just like the bus driver talking.
I'm gonna take out all these seats, this suspension and everything and carry it to my park and don't mind me. Just like how you buy the bus, this box of Starbucks. Just like how you buy it, just so we leave it. We ain't have nothing in it. All I do is just break through the spot.
Alright, I was there for about 6 weeks. I'm able to sort of understand most of that now, but when I first arrived, I was just like, what? Anyway, so let's see. So next I have an interview with someone that I met at a public event, talking about being a descendant of the Americans or being American. He had on a t-shirt that said, "Proud to be American," spelled M-E-R-I-K-E-N.
My name is Joseph Burton.
Mm-hmm.
I am a fourth descendant of Americans that came here after the war of 1812 in America.
Yeah, what does your ancestry, your genealogy look like? Or how did you trace it? How far back do you have to go to find your ancestors that came
so
here
far? So far, we have not really traced ancestry from America. All I have is the names that came on the ship from Chesapeake to Trinidad, and my father's grandfather's name, and the boat that he came on, and that sort of information I've got.
Uh-huh. So today we're at the Cocoa and something museum. Where are we?
Cocoa and chocolate
museum. Okay, and are you a retired postal worker?
I am a retired postal worker who have left this country, migrated to Canada, and did construction management at Douglas College in British Columbia.
Okay.
Back in 1976-77.
Uh-huh. So what are you doing in Trinidad, in Moruga, in Trinidad, the Rock River, in the southern Trinidad?
Following my exploits in Canada, I came back to Trinidad with my family. Uh-huh. And I worked for the government for about 5 years. Uh-huh. Incidentally, I fell in love with Canada that much that I went back. Uh-huh. I went back in 85. Uh-huh. And worked again. My work life is really real, real exciting. Because I came back to Trinidad again and worked for the Trinidad government, ensuring that all secondary schools were well maintained. I retired in 2000. Since then, I'm enjoying my retirement.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm playing some clips from Trinidad. I spent 6 weeks there this winter doing a work exchange at a farm called One Family Farm in La Lune, Moruga. I found them on the workaway.info site. They're also on the Woofing Network. So this next interview is a minute and a half with some of the children who were making mud pies at the farm. Okay, I'm here at Uncle Noriega's in La Lune.
My name is Ariel.
What's your name?
Kamaya.
And your name?
Kamaya
of the Ballet. Oh, we can understand with your thumb in your mouth. Can you try again?
Kamaya of the Ballet.
And you?
Kion.
Hmm?
Kion.
Kion. All right. And what did you all just make for lunch? You were the head chef, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ariel? Uh-huh.
I made the lovely rice and peas this morning, and then yesterday I made burrito.
Mm-hmm. What did you all put in the burrito?
I cook very lovely food. I love lovely food.
Okay. It has seasoning in it, and I put the seasoning on the ground.
What else? You all, I saw you all helping cook too. What else did you put in the food?
Question.
Can you all just tell me how old you are?
How old are you?
I am 6 years old and I'm going to St. Mary's Government Primary School. I am 3 years old.
And are you in school of any kind?
No, she's not in school yet.
Too young. What do you do during the day?
I don't know.
And next we have a concert by one of the girls.
Sunny day, I can feel the sun of way. Any day, I can be every day. What does you want for Christmas? I can twinkle, twinkle, little star. Oh, I wonder what you are up about the world so high.
You know, when you're in a foreign country, it's always nice to hear a familiar song. All right. Songs. Speaking of songs, let's play another song. How about some Bob Marley?
In the light.
Listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. The first interview I played at the beginning of the show was with someone who had boat hitchhiked across the Atlantic. And then actually later in my stay, so I was staying at a place called the One Family Farm. Super amazing, welcoming place, work exchange place. The family there and the community was so welcoming. And they hosted many international volunteers or volunteers isn't quite the right word because we got so much in exchange for working on the farm. But one of the other people that I met there was Anouk. And she had also come there sailing, like Aiko had. And she had come on a boat that she had gotten found through, like, Find a Crew, I think. Anyway, so now I have an interview with Anouk.
Okay.
What is your name again?
I'm Anouk.
And where are you from?
I'm from France.
So we're in Trinidad right now, and where are we? St. Mary's in Moruga. I think it's part of Moruga.
Yes.
So what are you doing in Trinidad right now?
Good question. I'm in Moruga in La Lune with one family farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm here for 1 week more or less to do some job on the... some work on the farm, and that's all.
Did you come through the woofing program or through WorkAway?
No, I just discussed with a friend of mine in the sailing yard, you know, and he told me about this farm on the south, and he told me that he did like couch surfing, and he welcomed one guy of Trinidad who is a friend of Giselle's family, and he gave me his phone number and said me, yeah, you can text him and ask. So I asked him by WhatsApp, and he told me, yeah, I have the number of Giselle, so you can ask. And here I am.
So how did you get here from France?
I came by sailboat.
And like, how did you find the sailboat?
It's a funny experience, and I'm not a sailor, and so for me it was a new and an amazing experience to just sail in the middle of the ocean and with a crew, you know. It's like a little island on on the middle of water on the sailboat. So
how did you meet the crew or make that connection?
At the beginning I was searching on Find a Crew and another
findacrew.com.
Yes, and another French website, it's Bourse aux Équipiers. And I was talking to people and nothing worked well. So I decided to just travel to Portugal. And from there, I just talked to a Swedish crew.
You just went into the harbor, to the boat dock.
And it was quite by chance. And I was discussing with them, and they just told me that they go to Canaria, and then to Cape Verde, and then cross the Atlantic. And so I was like, yeah, okay, it could be fun and nice to discover sailing and stuff. So mm-hmm. I just joined you for the first week, and mm-hmm. then maybe to Cape Verde, and then we will see. And once in Cape Verde, I hesitated a bit, and I was like, okay, go for it, mm-hmm. go cross the Atlantic.
So you went to Portugal. You had like all your bags packed for yes. traveling to the Caribbean. Do you know where in the Caribbean you were headed?
No, Renette. It was a discovery for me. We ended at St. Vincent Island, uh-huh. and I didn't know anything about that island. I was just like, yeah, we go in a Caribbean island, okay. that's
so you like. Are you in school or do you have a job or what did you have to arrange to be able to just leave and travel?
Yeah, I finished my study, 2 years ago, and then I work as a researcher in university. So I was at the university in Innsbruck in Austria, and then I collect money by myself to travel. Yeah.
So. Why did you choose to sail or choose to come to the Caribbean?
It comes like that. I don't know how, but I didn't want to take the plane for ecological reason, you know. And it's really, it's for that. And because I would like to discover something new, I think, and something challenging for me. Because I never went on a sailboat before, and for me, crossing the Atlantic was like, it's first sailing, and then you are kind of stuck with a crew. Uh-huh. So it was for me a human experience, and I would like to do that for that, you know, uh-huh, to know how I can react uh-huh. In that kind of conditions.
Uh-huh. So can you tell me a little bit more what it's like? So you're in Portugal, you have your backpack with all your things for the foreseeable future for traveling to the Caribbean or who knows where you're going to end up. And so you just go to the boat dock, you go to the harbor, you just start going down the line asking people, hey, I mean, what would you say to people when you came up to them?
Just basically like, hey, I'm searching a sailing boat which goes maybe to Canaria or Cape Verde. Are you searching for a crewmate? Because I would like to travel by sailboat. And I was really honest with them, like, I'm a real beginner. I never went in a sailboat before, so uh-huh. just, yeah.
What kind of reactions did you get from people?
I think that sailors are used to that because I'm not the first and the last one who do that. There are many people who do that in harbor. So they just answer me yes. We have a place in our sailboat, so let's discuss a bit and take a coffee and we discuss about that.
So why would they say yes? Like, what do they need from you? How do you benefit them?
Assistance. Actually, they taught me how to do night shift. Okay. You know, like, it's basically you have to watch for the weather, so the wind, the clouds, and the other boats. Uh-huh. So the goal is to not crash in another boat. So yeah, we have night shift turn by turn, one by one, during all night. So it was my contribution, okay. So that they can sleep when I can watch, and I can sleep when they can watch. Uh-huh. And cooking also, you know, it's like everything on a sailboat is moving, so sometimes when you want to eat, so you have to cook, and cooking on the boat sometimes is kind of annoying because it's always bumpy and you have to hold everything. And when you are cooking, you are inside, and sometimes, most of the time, you don't see so much the horizon, so you can be seasick.
Yeah.
But so I guess that my contribution was night shifts and cooking, you know. Not all the time, because it was also one by one, you know. One day I cook, another day I cook. Yeah, so just sharing that.
So did you pay a fee too, or what?
Yeah, it depends, because I was on several sailing boats, so with my Swedish crew I pay like for food and for everything, like custom and fuel, but we don't use fuel so much except to enter and come out of harbor, so that kind of stuff, you know, and that's basically all. But I know that some people pay more because they ask more, and it depends on sailboats.
So after you left the Canary Islands or Cape Verde, was it mostly just traveling by wind, or how much fuel was a motor engine going most of the time?
No, I traveled with people who didn't want to use fuel. So that's why people travel with sailboats, is to avoid that thing. But we are obliged to use fuel when you want to park in the marinas and come out of the marinas. If not, it could be dangerous.
So, okay. So the route to come from the Canary Islands to the Caribbean, like the winds mostly blow you in that direction?
So from Lisboa to Canaria, it was, there was kind of strong wind, but we were really slow because at one point the wind turns and not in the good direction, and it was chaotic in a way. So it was really slow sailing. And then from Canarias to Cape Verde, we have trade winds in the good direction. So basically from north to south, more or less, north east to southwest. And then when you want to cross the Atlantic at this period, it's like a highway. We have trade winds with every day, every time. So So it was easy to go.
So the people on the boat, why were they sailing? Where were they going? What were they doing?
Again, it depends on the crew, but the Swedish guy wanted to go to sunny place and hot place. Okay. I guess in Sweden it's not like that. So they wanted to reach the Caribbean to enjoy the Caribbean period. The sun and sea, blue lagoons, stuff like that.
So how long did it take to cross the Atlantic Ocean?
It takes us from Cape Verde to St. Vincent 19 days.
Were there any times during that trip where you questioned your decision to be with this crew or on this sailboat?
Yeah. Not in the crossing, but before.
Yeah.
When when it was a dispatcher, I was totally in, and I was really happy to take that decision. But just before, I was wondering if it would be a good idea because I'm not a sailor and so on. But the decision was easy to take, actually.
Thanks.
That was an interview with Anouk, who was an international volunteer work exchange worker at the farm, one family farm in Moruga, Trinidad, where I was earlier in this winter. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. Also, today is May Day, so happy May Day. There's some events going on downtown sponsored by organized by the Pioneer Valley Worker Center in Pulaski Park. There's some workshops and stuff. And also today is the first day of the Florence Wednesday Farmers Market. They're open until 6 today. And see you next week.
If you work with the rod and the reel,